Okay, thank you. Okay, so I am going to talk about flexible polyhedra. And let me start with the following definition. A polyhedron, for me, it's a polyhedral surface in the Euclidean space, Lobachevsky space, or spherical space. In fact, it doesn't matter so much. And a polyhedron is said to be flexible if its spatial shape can be changed continuously due to changes of its dihedral angles only. It means that every face is supposed to be congruent during the flex, while the dihedral angles may vary. And let me tell you, what do we know about flexible polyhedra? First I should mention that if dimension of the space is 3 or larger, then we know that there are no flexible polyhedra, there are no flexible convex polyhedra in D space. This is a result by Augustin-Louis Cauchy. Then, for a long period of time, people paid no attention to these problems, and the next result was obtained by Raoul Bricard, who proved that flexible octahedra do exist in the Euclidean three space. So in fact they have some self intersections. They are not convex, but there are many flexible octahedra, and they are called now they are known as Bricard octahedra. Yet another result was obtained by Robert Connolly, who proved that flexible self-intersection free sphere homeomorphic polyhedra do exist in the three space. In fact, in all kind of three spaces they exist. And yet another result was obtained by Klaus Stephan, who proved that such flexible self-intersection free sphere homeomorphic polyhedra in the three space may have only 9 vertices, just one vertex more than the cube has. So they are simple enough in some sense. And in fact, modular to previous results, you can obtain a lot of other results related to flexible polyhedra. For example, you can easily prove that in the three space, in Euclidean, for example, three space, there exist flexible polyhedra of arbitrary genus, as well as non-orientable ones. So it is not a problem, as soon as you know the previous results. The next result that I would like to mention is the following. Flexible cross polytopes do exist in the four-dimensional Euclidean space. What else do we know? Ralf Alexander proved that every flexible polyhedron in the three-dimensional space, in the Euclidean three-dimensional space, preserves its total mean curvature during the flex. And here is the definition of the total mean curvature. So you should calculate one half of the sum. The sum is taken over all ages. Over all ages of our polyhedron, you should, and the sum is arranged as follows. You should take the age length of this length, of this age, and multiply it by pi minus the dihedral angle attached to this age. And this strange, at first glance, this expression is really strange. So this expression is known to be the total mean curvature of a polyhedron. And Ralph Alexander has proved that this expression is in fact is constant during the flex. Yet another result is that every flexible polyhedron in the three-dimensional Euclidean space preserves its oriented volume during the flex. This is a result by Professor Sabitov. Yet another result is that, on the contrary, in the three-dimensional spherical space, there exist flexible polyhedra that do not preserve neither their volume nor total mean curvature during the flex. And I would like to, in fact, we know a lot about flexible polyhedra, but I would like to mention just one recent result obtained by Alexander Gaifulin in this year that reads that every flexible polyhedron in the four-dimensional Euclidean space preserve its oriental volume during the flex. So it's extremely non-trivial generalization of Sabitov's result. So this extension in dimension is highly non-trivial. Okay. So you can learn more about this subject either through a survey paper by Sabitov that was published in 2011, or from that recent paper. It is not published yet, but is available in the archive. I mean the paper by Gaifulin. So, nevertheless, there are a lot of open problems on flexible polyhedra. Let us restrict ourselves to Euclidean spaces only. For example, there is a very important problem to describe all flexible polyhedra in the three-dimensional Euclidean space. I mean, given a boundary-free simplicial complex, describe what age lengths correspond to flexible polyhedra. Yeah. Nobody knows the answer to this question. It's an extremely hard question. Okay, you can consider yet another formulation of approximately the same problem. Decide whether a polyhedron is flexible. This means that I would like to have an algorithm that receives a polyhedron as an input and returns yes if it is flexible and no otherwise. So, I mean, decide whether this polyhedron is flexible or not algorithmically. So this is an open problem again. Yet another problem that is simple to formulate, but it is still open. Do flexible polyhedra exist in D-dimensional space when D is greater or equal than 5? Yeah. Please give me just one example. I will be happy. And yes, of course, nobody knows for D greater or equal than 5, do all flexible polyhedra in RD necessarily preserve their volume during the flex? So these are just simple open problems. Everybody can find open problem on flexible polyhedra according to his or her taste. So you are welcome to join this field of research. But today I would like to focus my attention on the so-called Strong-Bellows conjecture that reads as follows. If an embedded compact boundary-free polyhedron Q is obtained from an embedded polyhedron P by a continuous flex, then the domains bounded by Q and P are scissor congruent. So it means that the domain bounded by Q can be partitioned by in a finite set of simplices SJ with the following property. For every J, there is an isometry FJ of the whole space such that the sets FJ of SJ, that this set is a partition of the domain bounded by P. Okay, so we know that the polyhedra P and Q have the same volume, and there is a conjecture that in fact they are scissor congruent. Okay. The following well-known theorem reduces the Strong-Bellows conjecture to the problem whether the Dane invariants are constant during the flex. So, and several people contributed to this theorem. Max Dehn was the first who observed that it is, yeah, who contributed to this field. Then it was Fiedler and Jessen. So the theorem reads as follows. Given two embedded compact boundary-free polyhedra P and Q in the three-dimensional Euclidean space, the following conditions are equivalent. First condition, the domains bounded by P and Q are scissor congruent. And the second condition says that volumes of these polyhedra, or volumes bounded by the domains, volumes of the domains bounded by these polyhedra are the same, and Dane invariants of these polyhedra are the same for every q-linear function f such that f over pi equals zero. Okay, so let me tell what the Dane invariant is. This is such an expression. Yeah, I cannot show it really. So this is the sum over all age lengths, over all ages. And you should sum such expressions. You should multiply the age length by the value of the function f calculated for the dihedral angle attached of our polyhedron attached to this age L. So it is the reason why I am interested in whether then Dane invariants are constant or not during the flex. So if they are constant, it means that and the polyhedra are embedded, then the Strong-Bellows conjecture holds true. But in fact, I can calculate Dane invariance not only for embedded polyhedra, and this is quite convenient for me. Okay, so the main result is that any Dane invariant of any Bricard octahedron remains constant during the flex. Moreover, it it is equal to zero. So, okay, now I want to tell you a few words why I am interested in Brickart octahedron. First of all, they were the first known flexible polyhedron. Second, they are, in some sense, they are the simplest flexible polyhedron that we know. And the third reason is that more complicated flexible polyhedra often incorporate Brickart octahedra as a part. For example, Steffen's polyhedron is exactly the case. So let me try to explain you what Brickart octahedron are. What Brickart octahedra are. So usually people say about Brickart octahedra of three types. So I will start with type one. What we have here is, in fact, I was trying to represent here four triangles, A1, B1, C1, A2, B1, C1, A2, B2, C1, and A1, B1, B2, C1. So they are glued together, and nevertheless they have boundary. This surface, polyhedral surface, has a boundary, and boundary is composed of four straight line segments: A1, B1, B1, A2, A2, B2, and B2, A1. So now let us suppose that the opposite sides of this broken line of the boundary have equal length. So the length of the straight line segment A1, B1 equals the length of the straight line segment A2, B2. And the length of A1, B2 equals the length of A2, B1. In this case, it's possible to prove that there is a line of symmetry, L. That is such a line that if we rotate the whole space around this line up to 180 degrees, then the line will, our broken line, this boundary of our surface will be mapped onto itself. And we arrive to such a configuration. So the vertex C1 will be mapped somewhere to the vertex C2, but all the other vertices will be mapped to already existing vertices. So in fact, this is an octahedron. From combinatorial point of view, this object is an octahedron. And it is easy to see that every edge, for example this one, A1, C2, has its natural pair. For example, A2, C1. So this pair, these edges that come in pairs, have the same length, and their dihedral angles, if we the sum of their dihedral angles equals 2 pi. So it means that it is nearly immediate consequence that symmetry of this polyhedron results in the results that the Deining variant of this polyhedron is equal to zero. So it's nearly immediate consequence. I will skip Brickard octahedron of type 2, because it is also quite symmetric, but with respect to a plane rather than to a line. And I will proceed with Brickard octahedron of type 3. I will try to be brief, and the only aim of my presentation here is to show that at first glance it is highly non-symmetric. And it was my idea that Brickard octahedron of type 3 should not preserve its Deining invariance during the flex. Let's see how unsymmetric it is. You should take two concentric circles. You should draw a convex polytope that is whose edges are tangent to one of the circles. Here are the points of contact. Then you should draw yet another quadrangle such that the lines of continuation of edges of this quadrangle are tangent to the other circle. Then it turns out that there exists some third concentric circle such that these lines, I will not describe them, these lines, so you join some points on this picture, and these lines automatically are tangent to the third circle. And again, from combinatorial point of view, this is an octahedron, and it turns out that it is flexible. At first glance, there are no symmetries at all. And nevertheless, these polyhedra have a lot of symmetries. So, for example, let me list some of them. There are linear relations between some edge lengths. This is an example. There are linear relations between some planar angles. This is an example. There are linear relations between some dihedral angles. This is an example. And using these symmetries and some special trigonometry, we prove that all Deining invariants of Brickard octahedra of type 3 identically equal zero. So that's all about the proof of the theorem I have already mentioned. But now I would like to mention yet another corollary of that theorem. And the corollary reads that if you take a Stefan polyhedron, it is known to be flexible. If you take it in one position, then move it, then how it is, then move it, yeah, move it continuously in another position, then these two polyhedra are scissors congruent. I believe that this never was proved in published. This result was never published, but in fact, it is an immediate corollary of the theorem that I have just mentioned, because the Stefan polyhedron is constructed in such a way that you should take a simplex, three-dimensional simplex that will not be changed during the flex, and you should remove two faces of this simplex. For example, DLE and FLE. And you should glue these holes with two copies of Brickard octahedron of type 2. But now, if we already know that all beam invariants remain constant during the flex for Brickard octahedron of type 2, for these Brickard octahedron, and they remain constant during the flex for the simplex. So we immediately obtain that Bain invariants remain constant for the Stefan polyhedra also. So they are scissors congruent, and this is some new result. So conclusions. What can I say as a conclusion? Conclusion number one, I have already mentioned. In fact, some flexible suspensions with hexagonal equator do exist that do not preserve some Bain invariants during the flex. So if we switch to more complicated examples, then Bain invariants must not necessarily be preserved. And yeah, I would like to mention that this talk is based on my paper that was recently published in the Journal of Geometry, so you can learn more details through that paper. Thank you for your attention.